Smith grabs the puck and scores! Washington took a nap and Craig Smith answers the wake-up call!
Welcome to episode 48 of Brews and Bruins, the Craig Smith times four episode. I know it should be the Matt Grizzlick episode, but you just heard it. Craig Smith scored the game winner in OT last night as of this recording. Oh, yeah.
It sounds like you're taking a piss.
Good start, everybody. All right, are you a diehard Boston sports fan? Well, Brews and Bruins is sponsored by diehard Boston sports fans. They have merch up for grabs. Drew's wearing it right now. It's the black and gold till I'm dead and cold shirt. We all have them. Use the promo code Brews on diehardbostonsportsfans.com and get yourself. We're still not sure how much it is. I think it's 10%. Off, not added. That would be bad. That would be the opposite of what you want.
10% added that goes to us.
You put our the promo code Brews and it's like $10 more. Fuck.
$10 more for a bumper sticker from Brews and Bruins.
Drew, you got some words?
Oh, yeah. It's playoff time. Big stakes, bigger promotions. Every day of basketball's playoffs, DraftKings will have $20,000 in total prizes up for grabs. The best part? It's free to get your shot at these daily cash prizes. DraftKings will be offering two free-to-play pools every day of the NBA playoffs, offering players a free shot at $20,000 in total prizes. DraftKings free-to-play pools, if you're not familiar with them, are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's basketball games and track your results throughout the evening. Questions will range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to feel the...
Sweat
like never before when you sign up to get your
Smith grabs the
Smith grabs the puck
when you sign up to get your free shot at $20,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to the DraftKings pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details.
Yeah, take that promo code for THPN. Yeah, so it's episode 48, Brews and Bruins, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast presented by Bruins Diehards and DraftKings and DiehardBostonSportsFans.com. It's me. It's Drew. No Cam because it's Friday. Friday content. We're in Thursday. That's how time works. Bruins currently up in the series 2-1. All three games have gone to overtime. Oh yeah, let's do beers. Drew, you have a beer?
Why we've all just forgotten like the last eight.
There's just so much shit to remember. You gotta do the ad reads, then you gotta do the like intro of the hockey podcast.
It's as if we don't write it down and plan it.
And then you gotta intro the beers. I guess as long as we remember there are three things you need to do at the beginning of every episode, we'll remember from now on, I guess.
And apparently pee in a cup is one of them.
Yep.
Right into the microphone. I'm drinking an Allagash White, Belgian style wheat beer. I feel like Allagash, at least for me, is the beer I most equate to Maine. Like, not that it's like the stereotypical Maine beer, but it's the one that I you quit.
I think it's one of the most widely available Maine beers.
Yeah. Brewed and bottled in Portland, Maine.
Like, I think I could get Allagash White here. I know for a fact I can get it here.
Yeah. But I love it. Like it. I feel like anyone who's had a beer in Maine probably has had an Allagash.
Probably.
At some point in their life.
So the Allagash Brewery is really fucking cool for being like kind of a big deal. They do a lot of cool like weird styles of beer where they got like wild yeast and shit, and I don't really know how it works, but good for them.
But for drinkability, certainly drinkable, nice 5.2%. Can definitely taste kind of the light. I don't know how to describe it. I'm going to just leave it as if you had an Allagash, you know what I'm tasting right now. Drinkability, definitely very high. I'm going to go with a 30, and then taste. You can taste it, but you know, it's not like it's a Belgium style wheat beer. It's not an IPA or anything. So
I believe when, the flavor in Belgian style beers is typically coriander.
Ooh. So it tastes like coriander, so you can taste the coriander. I'll go with it. I'll give taste, though, like a 16 on tasteability. Taste is very good.
Sick. I've got a Mikkeller Beer Geek Breakfast. It's a stout. It gives you all of the things in both English and in Danish, because this is also a Danish brewing company. It's a stout brewed with coffee. So let's give it a try, as though I haven't been drinking this the whole time.
Well, you got a fresh mug there, so.
Yeah, so it's 7.5%. I would say pretty light body, not like color-wise. It's very dark beer, but it's not a heavy beer, I would say. It's goes down pretty smooth, kind of like a Guinness. And it's not overwhelmingly coffee, but definitely a little bit of an aftertaste. So very solid on the taste scale. I'd give it like a 26. Yeah, it's not as sweet as a lot of breakfast stouts, which I think bodes really well for as far as drinkability. So drinkability, let's give it a 22.
I like it. Who's 22? Who was ever 22?
Sean Thornton.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think if there was someone more recent. Okay.
I don't think so. I think, didn't 22 just get retired? Like, wasn't Craig Smith supposed to be 22? And then he switched to
12? Oh, yeah.
Was that Willie O'Ree's retirement?
Retirement? Yeah, well, okay, so they haven't retired it yet. They postponed it till next season so they could have like a full crowd. So that's why they were going to retire this season, but it's not officially retired yet, but in spirit.
Yeah, it's 22. All right, cool.
Sweet. What's next?
And that was Brews and Brews. What if we just did like a 9-minute episode? We watched the first three games. We talked to Hockey Troll about some of the things that Bruins fans should be worried about if they start happening. And one of the things he mentioned was if the fourth line starts scoring for the Capitals, and they've done that. It's been a lot of the first and fourth line scoring, a little bit of the power play. It's been worrisome at times. I think the Capitals have done a really good job of, you know, winning periods. They've taken over some periods and kind of shifted the ice in their direction. And overall, it hasn't worked for them because the Bruins have won two games in overtime. But I mean, those are coin flips. And two of them have gone the Bruins way. One has gone the Caps way. So obviously it's a pretty even matchup. the Caps are doing a pretty good job at shutting down most of the Bruins offense, and it's not really what no team scored more than three goals, right?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Was one game 4-3 in overtime?
It would have been game one if that was the case. Because I think game two was 3-2 as well.
It's good podcasting right here.
Yeah, this is great. Let's see.
What do we got?
Yeah,
they won 4-3 in game two. It was 3-2 Caps in game one. They won 4-3 in game two, and they won 3-2 in game three.
I hope people listening were just aggravated because you knew what the scores
just, like,
were.
Screaming at us, like, I know the fucking score. I watched the games. Promised that I watched the games as well, but you know, when you add in three extra periods, it's a lot to remember and.
Becomes a 0-0 game in OT.
Yeah. Honestly, that game one, tough to watch. Game two was a little more exciting. Game three, not that much fun to watch either. I enjoy watching playoff hockey as long as the Bruins aren't playing in it, because it's just super anxiety-ridden moments for me.
I feel like the Bruins played pretty damn well in game three. I feel like they've slowly kind of improved. A big thing we talked about last episode in reference to games one and two was the clean breakouts. The Bruins weren't breaking the puck out. They were having a tough time in the neutral zone with the Cavs' physicality. And I think they were a bit quicker through the neutral zone this time around. I can't tell you exactly why and exactly what was different, but I think they were just a little bit faster and were able to have those clean breakouts. And that's why you saw, what was it, the third period? I think the Bruins, or maybe it was the first overtime, the Bruins outshot the Caps like 15 to like 6 or something in one of those periods.
The third period, the Bruins got outshot 5-on-5, 8-0.
Okay.
And then in the first overtime, I think they had like 17 shots or something like that.
Yeah. And so they did that a lot better. I think that's what led to a lot of their success. But kind of like you said, Chris, it's a coin flip at the point of overtime in many ways. And I think that double overtime goal was just a big example of it being a coin flip. It was just a lucky bounce for Craig Smith. There just some lapse in communication between the defenseman and Samsonov, and wound up going the Bruins' way.
Yeah, that shit has happened to the Bruins. So, like, it happens, you know, especially for a goalie like Samsonov who hasn't played in a really long time. Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good. I thought Tuukka looked pretty good. I wouldn't say any of the goals Tuukka surrendered were necessarily his fault. So, or I guess he only gave up two. So, yeah, I know he was getting kind of railed for his overtime goal in game one, which, yeah, I'd love to see him make that save, but it's one of those weird things where, like, you put it in slow motion, yeah, it looks terrible, because it goes off his chest and then kind of like he put it through his own legs. But if you watch it in full speed, it tips off of what I believe it was Nick Dowd's stick, and then, you know, Rask was ready for maybe like a five hole save or something along those lines, and then gets it in the chest and doesn't really know where it is. And then it comes down and he's kind of reacting to it. And I'm not going to put too much blame on him, but I know a lot of people are. Don't care. Comes back, looks pretty good in game two. And then, you know, game three, I think got overshadowed by a really good play from Samsonov, but ultimately came out the winner, gave up only two goals over the course of four and a half periods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I think Rask had a stellar performance in game three. There were a number of times where, as we kind of referenced, Washington just completely outshot the Bruins in periods. And I'd be interested to see, at least for all of regulation, I bet Washington was up. Bruins might have caught up a bit in overtime in terms of shots on goal, but And a lot of those were high danger. There was a lot of
the Bruins ended up with, I think, six more shots than Washington. But I think it was mostly the first overtime.
Yeah. And there was just like a lot of chaos in the crease this game. Took a rest. We've talked about that in the last episode too, but you just did a phenomenal job. And I think anytime you make it to overtime, you have to give both goalies some damn credit. And then to go into a second overtime as well, you're not going to get there with subpar goaltending. You're going to get there with really good goaltending, and both goaltenders stole a couple. And Tuukka, Tuukka did great. Definitely, I feel like a more Tuukka performance than the first two games. I felt like he was really on his A game.
Game three. And I think for the most part, the Bruins did a pretty good job in game three of limiting odd man rushes. There were a couple, but definitely not as many as there were in game two. It's been a pretty tough go of it for the third pairing, no matter who's been paired up. But Lauzon appears to be injured. I know he got hit in the hand with a shot. I assume that's why he's out. Connor Clifton's looked okay, pretty good at times, but also, you know, he's Connor Clifton, so he's not gonna do a whole lot while he's on the ice. And Kevin Miller has looked like absolute garbage at times. He's made a few good plays, but you know, laying a few hits isn't gonna make up for literally giving up a goal. It's been tough, and you know, it looks as bad on paper as it does on the ice. All those numbers back it up. He's been the worst Bruin skater.
Tough to see.
Yeah, I don't know if like swapping him out for Tenorti and moving that around moves the needle at all, because
won't change much.
Basically the same player, so yeah, I mean, I think Kevin Miller's a better hockey player than Jared Tenorti, but you know, maybe making that third pairing left and right instead of two right hand, I don't think it matters that much. But yeah, it's just frustrating to see Kevin Miller out there sucking.
And I think Cliffy had a couple good games now in there. He hasn't been bad. Still get a little bit nervous in his own zone, but I really like his ability to transition. There's a couple points where he was the third guy in the attacking zone, and a good option there. Obviously not the shot of some of the forwards on the Bruins, but I think definitely one of the better shots in terms of the defenseman. And that's what he was known for in college too. Incredible two-way defenseman at the NCAA level. So
yeah, well, at the NHL level, he's an awful offensive defenseman. But
yeah, but I think he's good enough to lock down that third pair.
He's pretty good in his own zone.
And he plays both sides.
So. Yeah, so I tweeted out his chart from Evolving Hockey, and it confused a lot of people. Because, you know, sometimes what you see on the ice is, oh, this guy, like, you know, makes good zone exits sometimes and can carry the puck into the zone and, you know, plays bigger than he is. And you see him attempt shots. Now that I think of it, I don't recall any of his shots being actually on net. But, you know, having some good opportunities that turn into, oh, just wide by Clifton. And I think a lot of that kind of translates into a really negative expected goals percentage, but also really positive expected goals against percentage. So, we're kind of an enigma. I also don't really understand how conceptually you can be really good with Corsi for and really bad Corsi against, or I guess I think it might be the other way around. It's really bad Corsi for really good Corsi again. So like just no one's taking shots while he's on the ice.
Yeah, they're just scared. Alex Ovechkin gets scared to go up against.
Yeah. I think like he's in my lineup. I don't care. Like I think if Lauzon comes back, I want him in there instead of Kevin Miller.
Mm-hmm. We'll see which way Cassidy goes.
I think it's always going to go to Kevin Miller just because, you know, he's the emotional leader. He's, you know, he's been there longer. He's theoretically got more experience, though. I think, like, Connor Clifton's probably played more NHL games now than he has. Kind of joking. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a huge problem with Kevin Miller's game. It's just, you know, when he's trying to do too much is when it really starts to suck. Because, you know, he did work on his skating a couple of years ago before he got hurt again, and definitely improved that part of his game. And now I think it's not fully back yet. After a year of kind of sheltering himself a little bit. And I think he's still trying to do the things he was doing 2 years ago, like maybe pinching when he shouldn't pinch and, you know, leaving himself really exposed. And that kind of stuff doesn't fly in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stuff the Capitals are going to capitalize.
Woo!
Caps capitalize on Miller's misfortune.
Man, that's like several levels of alliteration. You're going into four letters of.
There you go.
So like six total letters of alliteration between four words. It's pretty good. There's 12 letters. What else is there?
Everywhere we go, people want.
I mean, we got to talk about Taylor Hall's goal. That was.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, that was filthy to be aware of that time and space.
I don't want to give too much credit to that whole line for what happened on there, because I don't think Krejci really had anything to do with it. And Craig Smith made like what looked like a really cool behind the back pass, but also I think he was just trying to get the puck to the front of the net and didn't really know if Taylor Hall was there. So I don't want to like put too much credit on those guys, but that goal by Taylor Hall is pretty insane. That's like Samsonov shutting down all angles and really left only a little bit of space up there in the top corner, and Taylor Hall hit it while moving backwards.
Just great awareness to realize he has that time and space to make a move like that. And in the interview after the game, he said one of the Bruins coaches had, or trainers, someone on the staff during the morning skate talked to him about there was an opportunity in game one or game two where he had more time and he just kind of shoveled a shot on net, which a lot of the time they say a shot's not a bad idea, almost never a bad idea, but that he could have had a little more patience, maybe made one more move and had a better look. So he kind of kept that in mind in that situation when he realized he had that time and space. He took it and just absolutely roofed it too. And like you said, Chris, in the small space that was left for him, because Samsonov didn't do a bad job defending that. He was just kind of caught in a bad situation where one of the Bruins' best scorers since the trade deadline was left wide open.
What else? We got the David Pastrnak should have been either a goal or penalty shot. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, I think in the regular season, but they were letting it go playoff.
Let's talk about the officiating in the overtime. So, I mean, we can... I don't like to... Unless there are plays that legitimately like cancel out goals that are bad calls one way or the other, I don't really like to play that game because usually it balances out. I think we've seen some pretty bad calls against the Bruins and some pretty bad calls against the Capitals. I don't really want to talk too much about it. But yeah, I think in general, when you go to playoff overtime, officials like to let them play. And that makes the game so much worse because now instead of players getting open, you got players hooking guys and, you know, maybe taking some slashes that you wouldn't see otherwise. And, you know, maybe instead of having a real scoring opportunity, you got David Pastrnak fucking cruising into the boards and hitting his head. Yeah, that shit sucks. And that's why the officiating should be consistent throughout the game, regardless of whether it's overtime or not. Like, there has to be a line somewhere. And giving power plays in overtime is not necessarily a death knell. And also, it's part of the fucking game. Just, like, do it.
I think there were damn few instances of boarding, like they would have called it boarding in the regular season, on both sides.
Carlo got borderline hits pretty bad in the numbers.
So I think it's definitely different than the regular season, and then overtime is a whole
nother Chara story. Also got tripped in overtime.
Oh yeah, by Craig Smith.
And
you got his stick kind of jammed in his skate and tried
Garnet
to get
Hathaway submarined Marshy.
Yeah.
Those are things that should be called. And, you know, when you're not calling them, you are changing the outcome of the game by not calling that. They like to.
Didn't he submarine McAvoy?
No. Tripped Marshy over the middle.
Okay.
McAvoy went for a hit and he ducked it, but I think officials like to say, yeah, we want the play on the ice to determine the outcome, and yeah, that's all well and good, but by not calling a penalty, you are helping to determine the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Exactly,
because, you know, maybe David Pastrnak would have scored there if he hadn't been hooked on his hands. He got the five hole and just missed slightly to the left of the net. So
at the end of the day, the least you can ask for is consistency, and they were consistent in keeping their whistles in their pockets. So I would like to see some of those infractions called. But at the end of the day, I'm glad it wasn't an instance where there's a BS call on one team and then there are makeup calls and then, or it just kind of wasn't even in how consistent in how they were calling penalties. And I know it was from regulation to overtime for sure. But I don't know. It worked out for the Bruins. I'm happy. It's fine.
Brad Marchand needs to stop taking shitty penalties.
Yeah, dude. Oh my God. That was so damn dumb. And I'm very glad he got called for it. I think it's ref's giving him a wake-up call, and I hope he never fucking just pulls that shit again. It's not like it was dirty or dangerous or anything.
It's the second time he's done it and the second time he got called for it.
It's the new licking. And the first time they sent both.
I think they sent Mantha. I don't remember what the call was, but Mantha cross-checked him first, and they didn't call it at the time. Then Marshy was like sticking a stick in his face, and Mantha like dramatically threw his head back or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they called the cross check or the embellishment, but either way, they probably just called it because of the embellishment. And then, I mean, he tries it again. I don't know. Reminds me of the whole like Alex Burrows thing. Like,
I just think, what was it? I think it was Dylan who flopped at one point. It was Marchand who came up behind him, right? And then he just completely flopped.
It was right after the Pastrnak Pastrnak went into the boards, and like on the replay, you could see Marshy kind of like slash him in the back of the legs, and he just like. So I mean,
as if his back gave out.
It should have been a penalty shot and 4-on-4. And instead it was just 5-on-5. So yeah, I don't know. I complaining about the officiating in the playoffs really only matters if it really affects the outcome. And I think the Bruins should have won that game and did. And
justice is served.
I'm sure. I mean, if we had Hockey Troll on here, another Caps fan, they'd be saying, oh yeah, the Caps are getting fucking hosed. And maybe that's the case, because we're watching from Bruins fan eyes, and if we feel like the officiating has been fair, bad on both sides, then it's probably bad on the other side. I don't know. I follow a few Caps fans, and I've seen them complaining about certain things. And for the most part, I've been not super pissed off at most of the penalty calls against the Bruins. So who knows? Maybe they're getting the favorable bounce and whatnot, but that could be shifted at any time.
For sure, for sure.
So what are you looking for in the upcoming games to ensure that the Bruins win this series?
Win it in five, please, because I'm actually able to watch game five. And yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. You just bring the same performance, maybe up it a little bit in game four.
Yeah,
don't wait until OT to start getting shots on goal and
just saving it for the fourth quarter.
Offensive time, exactly. Just more sustained offensive pressure, more ozone time, I think is big. They did a good job in upping their neutral zone game in terms of breakouts. And keep being physical, even though they're not as big as some of those boys on the Capitals, Chara notably. Keep being physical, keep answering. I don't care if it's Corrali going after a guy who's like 3 inches taller than him. You got to do it. That's your role.
Yeah, for me, it's two things. I want the fourth line to be better, and I want the power play to be better. Yeah, I think getting a 5-on-3 and not really even having a legitimate chance to score was pretty tough.
Yeah, that was frustrating. I was at work and I saw they had a 5-on-3 and I was like, ooh. And then a minute later I checked the TV and I was like, wait, nothing happened?
And it was like 3 total minutes of power play too, because the second penalty happened about a minute into the first power play. So it was like a minute of power play, a minute of 5-on-3, and then a minute of power play. And there were a couple of decent opportunities on the 5-on-3, but nothing really transpired. And then on either side of that, nothing happened. And it was extremely frustrating to watch. I don't know if anybody saw it, but I tweeted out that the Bruins power play killed my dog. What are you going to do to fix this? And then luckily Marshy scored on the power play later in the game. Yeah, so I guess one of the issues for me is, you know, Charlie McAvoy on the power play isn't really working. I would love to see, you know, either Mike Riley or Taylor Hall move up to that top pairing or the top unit, and then, you know, put Mike Riley on the second unit. I don't even mind having two defensemen on either unit, especially if it's puck movers like Riley. I think Mike Riley had a really good game.
Chris hasn't been too bad.
No, I'm a fan of either of them on the power play. But you know, if you can't be on a 5-on-3 and have Charlie McAvoy on there. I think you need to get Taylor Hall up with that top unit when you're, you know, when you got a chance like that, and they didn't make it happen. And then I guess for me, we've talked about it before on here, during the bubble last year, we talked about game fours. Other than, you know, a game seven or elimination game, it's the most important game of the series. Cause I mean, at this point you're up 2-1, you're either going to go up 3-1 and take a commanding lead in the series, or it's going to be an even series and you're back at square one. And I was going to go back and like look at all the playoffs and see like what percentage of teams who won game before ended up winning the series, but I didn't end up doing that. I bet it's high though.
Yeah, going up 3-1 would be absolutely huge, especially in this kind of series where the teams look pretty evenly matched. They both have different strengths and different weaknesses, which has been really fun to watch go head to head against each other. But if you can get up 3-1, then you can go 1-2 against a team that it's kind of been a coin flip every game who it's going to go to, and still win the series. So it's a huge, huge opportunity for the Bruins to get to a place, especially because, you know, at times I've worried. I think the Caps had many opportunities to win that game themselves, and this would be a whole different story. So
they hit the post a couple times at the end of the third period.
Yeah, that was scary. Jack goes off crossbar, the pie.
Crossbar and post. Yeah, I believe Backstrom hit one, maybe Kuznetsov.
I think Kuzi had one, yeah.
Oh yeah, by the way, Kuznetsov's back as well. That's big. He's a good player. Mm-hmm. And I think he played pretty well.
Doesn't have COVID now. He had tested positive twice.
Yeah, that sucks. Lars Eller out. So, you know, center depth still being tested.
What happened with him?
I believe he got injured last game. I don't remember exactly what it was, but
was he the one who went down and blocked that? No, I think it was Dowd who went down and blocked a shot and it went off his knee, like it exposed to the pad.
This was game two that Eller got hurt.
Okay. When was that? Game one? Oh, no, that was game three, yeah.
That was last game, yeah.
Took a shot, yeah. Well,
yeah, good stuff. What else we got?
I don't know, man. Go Bees.
Go Bees. I might, so if there is a game six, I might be watching that in a bar.
Ooh.
I had a coworker send out a text to our group saying, we're all vaccinated. You know, we could go to our wing spot and check out the Celtics Nets game and the Bruins Capitals game.
And there you go.
I was sold.
100%.
Yeah, it's been well over a year since we did like a coworker meetup at our favorite wing spot, which is coincidentally like an 8-minute walk from my apartment, which is really nice because not a lot of stuff is really close to my apartment that
very convenient
would want to go to.
A very important place to have walking distance.
Yeah. Well, for reference, it's probably like a 15-20 minute drive for most of my coworkers. And they're all meeting me here and I'll just walk on over.
Walk on over.
Shouts to Dirty Birds, free advertising. It's a place that you never want to go on any day that's not Tuesday or Wednesday if you're eating wings, because Tuesday is half price wings and Wednesday is all you can eat wings, and the rest of the time it's wildly expensive. It's like $15 for 10 wings.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
God damn. Well, Friday, fun day. Hope everyone has a good day.
Friday night, I'm thinking that we just might fly away to someplace they don't know who we are. I don't know the rest of the lyrics to that song from I Think You Should Leave.